Welcome to this February 26th event. This is Letting Go of the Status Quo. So I'm going to start out with a little bit of housekeeping. For those of you that are on the webcast, you will notice that there is a question box on the left-hand side. If there's anything that you would like to interact with me about, you're certainly welcome to put your comments in there. Do please take a moment to add your name as well so I know who it is that I'm interacting with. And there have been a number of questions come in through there already and a number of comments. Some kudos and support. Thank you very much to those that are just sending good energy this way. I really appreciate that. To those of you that are on the conference line, you are currently on Q&A mode, which means you press *7 in order to speak. So if we're talking about something and you have something that you would like to add or you would like to ask about, you're welcome to just press *7. That will open up your phone line and you'll be able to communicate with me. And then when you're done, if you could press *6 to mute yourself again. That way the phone line just stays a lot quieter and everybody can hear better. If I have too many of your lines open all at once, then there gets to be quite a buzz or a hum in the background because there's just a little bit of noise from each person. So that's why I have you on Q&A mode. It's not because I don't want you to interact. It's just so that the interaction is easier to manage. So with that, we are going to begin. And one thing I do want to be sure and mention is don't bother texting me or emailing me while we're on this call. I sometimes have people doing that during the call. I don't know if they think that they're going to get their question through to me quicker or something. I don't look at my text messages and at my email while I'm on the call with you guys. I am focused on the phone lines and on the people that are on the webcast and the message that it is that I have to share. So that is just an awareness for you. So if you have texted me or emailed me and I'm not responding to you, that's why, because I'm not watching any of my other technology while I'm on the call with you guys. So welcome. I'm Bonnie Bogner, and some of you know me. Some of you know me well. Some of you have never even heard of me before you found out about this webinar. So I'll just tell you a little bit about who I am. I reside in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada, and I have been studying in the field of energy healing, spirituality, metaphysics, alternate reality, whatever you would like to refer to it as, or all of those, for over 25 years now. It's a field that has fascinated me for a very long time. I've worked professionally in this field for the last 11 as a spiritual coach, an intuitive, a channel, and a healer. I'm also a spiritual teacher, and I teach a number of workshops. The ones the nearest and dearest to my heart is a very intense series of classes called Soul Alignment, and that really is the embodiment of all of the work that I have done for a very long time, all compiled into two 4-day intensives. And I did have a third one as part of it. That one is, I've been guided at this point to not be offering it. So something else is probably going to come out of that, but there's two 4-day intensives. So I teach the Soul Alignment. I also teach a class called Emergence of Spirit. And I offer a membership group, which I'll talk about that a little bit later. There is also a Facebook group that you are able to join if you would like to. And so in order to do that, you go onto Facebook and do a search for Wisdom of the Galactic Council, and you'll find a private Facebook group that you have to ask to join. And once you've joined it, I post in there probably a couple of times a week, and it's messages from the council. So I also post my events in there so that people know what's happening. But the primary focus is messages from the council, a way that I can get them out to a greater audience. And you can, of course, go through and take a look at those anytime. I also do group channeling events. Those are generally in person. And I periodically run a 6-month coaching group, which I'm looking at running my next one starting in September. So that is an option, too. That's a very intensive 6 months of interaction with me every week and assignments every week for that 6 months. And it can be really quite life-changing for people. So just to give you a little bit of idea of who I am, and then I will also let you know who the Galactic Council is. So they are a group of benevolent beings that contacted me about 6 to 7 years ago, more like 7 years. I guess I've been really actively working with them for about six. And their message is all about helping us to break through our barriers so that we can move through our ascension process. They're a very loving and gentle group of beings or group of energies. They are beings that have gone through the ascension themselves and are very aware of the struggles that we're going through because they experienced many of them. They could be thought of as our parents or grandparents that are lovingly watching over us and only stepping in when we ask them to. So they're not helicopter parents by any means. They're not going to interfere with our lives. They're there to assist us as we require or we request that assistance. It's been a very life-changing experience for me getting involved with this group of beings, the Galactic Council. Prior to that, I worked primarily with the angelic realm, and I still adore the angelic realm. I still call on them frequently, particularly for clearing and releasing energy and shifting energy, feeling that person is in a place of real, true support and love. They're great for that. But most of the energy, the information transmissions that I work with now are from the Galactic Council. And that's not anything against the angelic messages. There are many people conveying those messages, and the Council has asked me to work with them. So that's who it is that I am now primarily focused upon. So hopefully that helps you to understand just a little bit about who I am and why it is that I'm here and sharing this information with you. Our topic today is letting go of the status quo. And when I came up with that name, I just really liked it because so many of us think that there has to be something terribly wrong before we try to make it right. This isn't about there necessarily being a problem or there being something wrong. It's about opening up to the possibility that maybe we're not being all we can be. Maybe we're not living the fullest life we can live. Maybe we're not shining the brightest we can shine. And a lot of that is because of our programming. So the things that we have learned as children, the patterns that we have brought in from our families, the patterns that we have brought in from past lives, all of those things contribute right at the very beginning, and then as we grow, we form patterns. We pay attention to certain things that people say or certain behaviors, and we start to make them ours, and then that becomes part of our belief system. And by the time we've become adults, we very much have a paradigm that we live from, and that can be referred to as our status quo. When we don't shake it up, we just continue to live in it. But when we do shake it up, we can get outside of that status quo and actually have the opportunity to step into a different way of being. And it's really important to understand how small the change can be sometimes to really make a big impact in our world. It's not about changing everything, although it may be. That may be what is appropriate. For some people, that is. They recognize that they want to get out of the status quo, and they just change it all. They maybe sell their home, or they quit their job, or they move to a new place and start a completely new life. That can be a real shake-up to the status quo. Now, those are external physical shifts in the status quo, but we can also make shifts in that status quo within ourselves without actually having to do those big changes. There's nothing wrong with those big changes. I'm not suggesting that there is, and I know they've served me very well as well. I'm someone who has, in the last 20 years, lived in an awful lot of different places. a lot of them in Regina or in the Regina area, but I have moved frequently. And to me, for a while, it felt like that was, it was disruptive, and oh, I've got to pack everything, and I've got to move again. And actually, just a few months ago, my dear guidance team, the Galactic Council, informed me that they had been very instrumental in ensuring that I moved that frequently because it helped to keep me from getting stuck in any particular rut. And so that was part of my process of this letting go of the status quo, that my surroundings were changing, so then my behavior changed. When you move into a new home, your routine changes because the space is different, and that can help you to let go of it. So please understand, I'm not saying that you need to move in order to let go of the status quo. I'm saying that that is one of the ways that we can be encouraged to shift things. So I'd like to ask you a couple of questions just to get you thinking about how your status quo might be showing up in your life. So how much are you still locked into the old paradigm as if nothing has changed on the planet? Just really think about that. If anybody would like to respond, you're welcome to. You're welcome to either type something into the Q&A box, or if you're on the phone lines, you're welcome to open up your phone line with star 7 and let me know. So the question was, how much are you still locked into the old paradigm as if nothing has changed? And I'm going to continue to talk about it, but you're still certainly welcome to open up your line and respond or to enter into the Q&A box about that. The first part of letting go of your old paradigm or your status quo is to acknowledge that things have changed. They've changed a lot, a tremendous amount. One of the examples I can give you is when I started doing this work. So as I mentioned, I've been doing it for 11 years. When I started doing this work and I would go to a trade show, there'd be me and one or two other people were there doing intuitive readings. And I don't go to trade shows anymore because half of the show now is people doing intuitive readings. That's just one very small example of how significantly things have changed on the planet, that there is a hunger, there is a desire for more information, for different information. And there's an awful large percentage of the population that 10 or 15 years ago would have laughed at intuitive work or angels or being connected, being a psychic, any of that, that are now accessing that information and feeling very good about that connection. That's that awakening process that's happening, and that's part of this huge shift in our paradigm in the world, is that people are waking up. And there are so many movements happening around the world. That's a personal experience, but something like the body image movement, which is all about helping women to learn to love their bodies. This is a very impactful movement that is starting to shift and shape a new way of being in the world. There is the incredible shakeup that's happening in the U.S. right now. And I'm not here to say if that's good or if it's not, how it's happening. It's simply that observation that everything is changing there. And that can be a little scary. It can be encouraging. It can be exciting. It can also be a little scary. A lot of the news around it is focused on it being scary, which can be referred to as fear-mongering. And much of our news now is focused on keeping us in fear. The reason for that is people who are in fear are very docile and obedient. They don't want to ruffle feathers. They don't want to stand out. They don't want to be seen. They don't want to be punished. And it can be a really, really effective way to help to keep people, you know, under control. And when people are fed information about things in the world, and they're told that it's fearful, and they're told that it's bad, and they're told that it could harm them, most of us automatically go into a place of having some fear, of thinking that that's the truth, that it could be harmful to us. There's another aspect of these movements that are happening around the world, and that is how we are accessing information. 10 years ago, the go-to was not the internet. The internet was there and it was active, but it was not, it did not answer the questions in every conversation in every room around the world, which it tends to do now. People have a disagreement or a misunderstanding about something. One person thinks it's one way and another thinks it's another way. Somebody looks it up to see what the answer is. That is a tremendous shift that has happened in our status quo on the planet. And so these are just a few examples to give you that understanding that everything is changing, and it's changing rapidly. And that sets up the perfect opportunity or the perfect circumstances for you to start shifting things in your own life as well, if they're not serving you the way they are. To me, it's a really exciting time, but I know it can also create some fear for people because it's a time of not being certain. We love certainty. Humans love certainty. Even if it's just an illusion, we think that we're safe if we have something that is certain, that is, well, that's the way it is. I know that's the way it is, so we're good. The whole idea that we might know the way it is and that things aren't going to change is really an illusion, but it creates a sense of security for people. And that is part of the reason why we don't acknowledge how everything is changing and how rapidly it's changing, because humans like certainty, and if they think that everything is changing, then what can they be certain of? What I would like to suggest is the thing that you can be certain of is your connection to spirit, is your ability to connect into your heart and be in a state of love. That's the one thing that we can all be certain of. That doesn't mean that spirit's going to show up and rescue us or give us all the answers. Maybe, but maybe not, and either one is okay. It's just that acknowledgement or that understanding that spirit is with us. Spirit is within us, that we are spirit. That is the one thing that is consistent for us. And when we have that faith, and please don't misunderstand faith with religion. That may be religion for you, but not necessarily. When I talk about faith, I'm talking about that understanding that there is a vast intelligence that is operating the universe. You can call that intelligence God if you want. I don't mean a man sitting on a throne dictating. I'm talking about that collective energy of all of us that creates a intelligence of the universe. That is the one thing that you can count on. That is something that is always there. So that's just to give you a little bit of basis for how we can have that sense of security or a greater sense of security. So thinking back again now to that question, how much are you still locked into the old paradigm as if nothing has changed? I think now you would be able to take a look at your own life and start to notice all of the things that have changed. And they may not change day to day or moment to moment, but if you think back 6 months, a year, 2 years, 10 years, where you were at then compared to where you are at now, your awakening, your understanding, your strength of conviction in your connection to spirit, all of those things are things that could certainly have changed significantly in that time period. So I'm just going to pause for a moment, just check to see if anyone has sent in any comments. No, they haven't. If there's anybody on the phone lines that you're just chomping at the bit to get in here and say something, now would be the time, *7, to open up the line, and you can join in this conversation. So I'm going to expand a little bit on how we can step out of the fear-mongering. So as I mentioned, it's an age-old trick to keep people small and obedient. Obedient people are easy to direct and manipulate. The first way that we can start to shift that is stop believing that everything that you hear on the news is true. And the moment you stop believing all of it, everything changes. Just stop and think about that for a minute. Just right now, in this moment, stop and give yourself permission to know that really nothing that you hear on the news is 100% true. I'm talking good news, bad news, neutral news. Just allow the possibility for a moment that none of it is completely true. Take a breath and allow for that possibility. So creating that awareness is not about fighting a fear that, oh no, what do I do? If the news isn't true, what do I believe? Even if the good news isn't true, what do I believe? It's not any of that. It's about having a realization that you can redirect your attention. The thing with virtually all news is that it has an agenda. Someone wants to get their point across. But depending on what they believe, the vaccine debate would be a great one. And again, I'm not saying if I'm pro or if I'm con, it is completely irrelevant how I feel about it. What I'm proposing is those that are pro-vaccine have an agenda that they want people to have vaccines. The people that are anti-vax have an agenda. They want people to not have vaccines. And they want to vilify those who produce vaccines to strengthen their case. Those who are pro-vaccine want to vilify those who don't have a vaccination and praise those who produce vaccines because that's their cause. Somewhere in the middle is the truth. And just throwing it out there as a possibility, maybe both are the truth. Maybe neither one is a lie and maybe neither one is completely the truth. Maybe they're both the truth, and maybe they're both a lie. And I'm not saying this to confuse people. I'm saying this to open up the possibility that there is way, way more than what lies in front of our eyes. So just further on that particular one, maybe individual vaccines by themselves are okay and combinations aren't. Maybe for some people vaccinations are perfect, and for some people they aren't. Maybe certain types of vaccinations are fine and other ones aren't. So do you see where I'm coming from when I say that there is all of these possibilities, that there isn't just one truth and one untruth, that there is an element of truth in each one and there is an element of untruth in each one? So the next question would be, what do I do with that? How do I sort through that so that I'm not feeling overwhelmed and not understanding what to do with it? So if you're, as we'll continue on that same example, if you're a pro-vax, you may at this moment now be going like, no, now I really have to convince those anti-vax people even more. No, you don't. It's okay for that to be your truth or not. Maybe it's okay for it to be your truth most of the time, but not all of the time. And if you're the anti-vax person, it doesn't mean that you have to run hide in the hills because you disagree with that whole concept. It's okay to have the awareness that maybe sometimes it's suitable. Another example that I could use is those that are very invested in natural and holistic healing versus those that are invested in the medical model. Those that are invested in the holistic healing probably don't want that model when they have a broken arm. They would prefer to go to someone who works in the medical model and get a cast on that arm. The same could be said in the other direction. Those that are invested in the medical model, if they're having an experience that's just from too much stress and they need to learn how to breathe, that's way better for them than to take a pill that really could, that thing could be corrected just by learning to breathe properly. So again, there's not one truth and one lie. There is not one good and one bad. It all is possibilities. And when we can be in that place of allowing all of it and none of it, then we can start to surrender our status quo, those things that we have held on to so tight that make our reality our reality. And the really cool thing with that is the minute you start to surrender, that is the minute in which it can start to shift. It's not about adopting a whole new belief set system. It's about surrendering how dearly you hang on to your belief system and opening up to the possibility that there could be something more, there could be something greater, there could be something different than what it is that you have been looking at so far. So there are some terms that are used to very effectively keep us in fear. Again, I will refer back to the news because it's one of the places that people can really relate to. Terms like fake news and pseudoscience, those are used regularly to keep people small and to keep them in fear. But it's not about reacting to this from that place of I got to fight those. So fake news is used for anyone that disagrees with a certain set of news. They may respond and say that it's fake news, even if they have no evidence. And the burden of proof then falls upon the person who has produced the news as soon as it's referred to as fake. That is kind of the process that's used. Same with pseudoscience. There can be significant scientific background for something, but if someone disagrees with it, the best way to discredit it is to refer to it as pseudoscience. Again, these are tools that are being used to keep us small, to keep us in fear. And there just is no room for fear in our growth. We can't embrace that spirit, that beautiful, expansive spirit that we really are, if we're operating from a place of fear. I don't want to be seen. I don't want to let my light shine. I don't want anybody to know what it is that I believe. I don't want people to find out how I'm thinking. I don't even want to know what it is that I believe because maybe it's not in alignment with what people around me expect me to believe. All of those kinds of things are based on fear. When we can start to honor the lesson that is in an experience, rather than being so focused on the experience itself, we can start to have the opportunity to learn from these lessons. We can surrender our judgment of whether or not they're good and bad. We can surrender the fear about what it is that's happened or unfolded. And then we can let go of the status quo that that would hold us into. So I'm hoping this is all falling together and making sense to you, how it is that when we start to look at things in a different way, when we surrender the fear that has been holding us looking at things a certain way, they can all start to change. And I'm sure you have all heard this quote. It's an Einstein quote. We cannot solve our problems with the same thinking we use to create them. And to me, that just says it all. We certainly can't. We so need to look at things in a different way in order to shift things. So I'm going to just stop for a moment here. I'm going to take a quick look through the Q&A and see if there is any questions specific to this that I would like to address. I also am offering anybody that is on the phone lines, if you would like to ask something about what I've already, or comment on what I've already spoken about, feel free to press star 7 and speak to me. So most of the messages that I've received are either personal requests or they are things that I would feel that the Galactic Council would be better qualified to answer than me. So I will let them address them. No, there is one question that I would feel would fit within this because it's about our physical response to what's happening on the planet. And that is, I'm finding there are more people with headaches and migraines. Does this have anything to do with our energy shifting? And if so, what might they or we do to lessen or get rid of the painful effects? There are a number of things around this rapid change that do indeed have to do with headaches. One of them is as our energy systems are shifting, because we're basically being rewired. We're being rewired to a higher vibration. In order for that rewiring to happen, we need to have the building blocks for it to happen. That means adequate sleep, adequate hydration, adequate nutrition, adequate breaths, taking care of ourselves, all of these basic building blocks of creating a healthy human being are even more critical right now as we are being rewired into these higher vibrations. So if people are missing one of those components, it can certainly create the experience of ill health. And headaches and migraines are one of the top ones that will show up around that. And incidentally, just about everybody that has a headache has some degree of dehydration. If you are drinking tap water, just out of the tap, you're not even blessing it or purifying it or anything like that, just blessing it is sufficient. So run that water into a glass, take a moment to be with it, and infuse it with the healing properties that are going to bring it into a vibration that it is supportive to you and hydrating to you. That will make a big difference. And then just be sure to drink it. Drink plenty of water so that you can overcome that headache. It's because there's a constriction, a tightening that's happening when you're experiencing a headache, and that is due to that dehydration and also in a more chronic way due to not having those building blocks to facilitate the increase in the vibration that is happening on the planet. So great question. Thank you.
Okay, let me see. Hi, Bond.
Hello. Go ahead.
I did want to comment on the fear, and it's something that I just really struggle with a lot because it's the fear of, okay, I know this is fear, and, you know, I got to be calm with it, but then I fear that if I don't say something or do something, you know, get a little caught up in it, then is it just going to be okay, or do we need to, because you know where I'm coming from, in the U.S. it's like really crazy right now. And,
yep.
You know, just trying to find where you should be in, you know, the fake news, as you call it, or, you know, whatever. It's really difficult.
Yep, absolutely it is. And I guess there's a couple of responses I would have to that. One is, it's been proven over and over and over again that fighting what we don't like does not get rid of it. Because the only way we can fight against what we dislike or what we disagree with is to focus on it. As soon as we focus on it, we're giving our energy to it. So
mm-hmm.
Our traditional way of resisting something is to take action against it. Now, if you look at it out in the world, it appears that taking action against things has some impact on it. And short term, it does. But long term, the more focus and energy we put on something, the more attention it gets, the more energy it gets, the more prevalent it becomes. So the war on terrorism would be a great example of that. You know, how many years now have we had this quote-unquote war on terrorism? There's more terrorism on the planet now than there was 20 years ago, 30 years ago. So clearly that war on terrorism is not really doing anything to stop terrorism.
Mm-hmm.
When we can be in a place of surrender and go, I don't understand what this is all about, but I accept that there's a value in it in some way on the planet right now, and I'm just going to love those people that need to be terrorized, and I'm going to love those people that need to be the terrorists. And I'm going to hold them in my heart that they may find a way to have their experience that is not so painful.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
That's a very, very difficult thing.
Absolutely it is. Absolutely it is. And part of that is because we have been so indoctrinated into the fear-mongering. If we don't take mm-hmm. action, if we don't fight against what we don't like, and if we assume that what we don't like is indeed wrong, then we're being pacifists. We're not, you know, we don't care. A great small example of that is all of those posts on Facebook that says, if you really care about this person, you will share this post. Or if you really feel sorry for this person, you will share this post. And if you don't, you're just a bad person.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? Me seeing a picture of someone or something suffering and choosing to not spread that suffering by sharing it with all my friends does not make me a bad person.
Yeah. I've come to agree with you on that, and I truly, truly believe that. I guess I just hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying.
Yeah, so that's the microcosm, the sharing the post or the being expected to share it. That's the microcosm of what I'm talking about. Then when it comes to a whole country or the world, because really, you know, the craziness that's going on is going on all over the world.
Yes, I agree.
That's then the macrocosm. If there were 5 million people around the world that tomorrow all said, we are no longer going to take part in any of the violence on this planet in any way, shape, or form, we would have peace. It would be inevitable. So as long as we continue to buy into, I need to fight something, I need to fight for my rights, I need to fight against the machine, I need to fight. As soon as we go into that fight energy, then we're creating resistance. We're creating resistance to what it is that we believe we don't want, but we're also giving energy to what that is.
Mm-hmm.
So it really is about just like repeating that understanding so often that you get to the point where you understand that really is the truth. And even if it feels like it's fake, to practice, okay, here is an experience and I don't feel good about it, but I'm just going to try to hold both parties in my heart. I really don't know the circumstances. I'm just going to try to love both sides. And the more often we do that, the easier it gets to do. And I know that from experience because I used to be real judgy. I still can go into that place. My close friends know that. But I used to think that I had to be that activist out in the world as well. And as I started to understand really, truly that there is no good, bad, right, or wrong, I started practicing this process. And it's gotten easier and easier and easier the more I've practiced it. So I know it's something that you can shift with practice. Does that help?
Yeah. Sometimes I just really feel that it's easier to go into that. And then I get caught up in, but if I go into that, is this going to, you know, am I doing, not like you said, am I not doing what I should be doing to help something? But yeah, I hear what you're saying.
It's easier to go into which.
It's easier to go and say, oh, well, I'm just not going to pay attention to it. I'm just going to go on and, you know. Like, sometimes that seems like, I sometimes feel like that is me copping out and not taking responsibility. You know what I'm saying? Like, maybe I should be saying something. Maybe I should be protesting. Maybe I should be doing this. Because if I'm not, then am I just saying it's okay or, you know.
Okay. Yep.
Where sometimes...
Yeah, I know exactly what you're saying. I'm not suggesting that you just ignore it and not do anything.
Okay.
I'm suggesting that you witness it from a place of love,
mm-hmm.
not from a place of judgment or a place of fear.
Mm-hmm.
So, huge difference. So, ignoring it is, I didn't even know that happened, and I don't care to know that it happened, and so if I don't know that it happened, then I can just pretend it's not. Even there. That's acknowledging it. So that same picture that's been shared on Facebook, acknowledging it. So the process to acknowledge it would be, I see there's a picture here of someone suffering, and I understand that me sharing it on Facebook is not going to help that person suffering. But me taking a moment to send that person love wherever they may be, and just offering it with no conditions, me taking that moment to do that, I am being their witness for something better, for something greater, whatever that might be for them.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
it's being very active, really.
Yeah, I understand.
Okay, good. So it's marching for peace instead of marching against war.
Right.
Yeah, that was one of the comments that Mother Teresa made many years ago, and that one's always really stuck with me because that really is the underpinnings of the law of attraction.
Yeah, yeah, I recite that or know that or that what she had said, and often like I agree.
Okay, awesome. So take a minute and take that into your heart. And I would invite everyone here that is on the call to just take a moment right now and take a breath and take that into your heart. We're here to march for peace, not to protest war. We are here to flow into love, not to fight against fear. And just breathe with that and breathe into your heart and allow yourself to surrender into that possibility that love could be the solution. It really could take care of everything. Couple of nice deep breaths. Allow yourself to surrender into that. And how's that feel now? Are you still there, Rose?
Yeah, it's very calming.
Okay. Okay, excellent. So that is a really good process to use to when you're feeling that urgency. It can be as simple as a couple of breaths like that. Yeah. Okay, I've got somebody else who's got their phone line open. Marjorie, I see that you have your line open. Go ahead if you'd like.
Yes, hi, Bonnie. I think this is a general question that will probably apply to a lot others. I feel like I'm flowing with the love and my heart opening. I feel it and a lot of tears cleansing. But through this whole process from a few days before the last eclipse, I think a lot of people in addition to me have probably been experiencing sleep disturbances. And even though I do my best to keep all of the pillars of health going, I'm having multiple wake-ups during the night and just being awake with all this energy moving. and so feel physically tired a lot during the day, and I'm taking the time to rest. I'm wondering if you might have some suggestions for myself and others who may be experiencing this rewiring at such an intense level.
Yeah, it really can be counted. I hear you with that, but yes, and especially between these eclipses, and not just between them, these weeks that follow as well, the energy is going to continue to be quite intense. One of the things that you can do is you can ask your support team, so when you wake up in the night or even before you go to sleep at night, actually ask them that they do the work on you in such a way that you are able to still get sufficient rest. That's
okay.
One piece of it. The other piece is that you can actually talk to the cells in your body, too, and this is a great thing to do just before you go to sleep. So when you're laying in bed and before you go to sleep, just talk to all of your cells. Tell them how much you love them. Tell them that you know that they know how to do this rewiring and this upgrading easily and effortlessly, and that you are tasking them with doing that.
Okay. I will
when
do those.
When you make that connection with yourselves, when you're doing that and you make that connection, you'll often feel a tingling all through your body.
Okay. I do feel connected. I tell my body that I love it and I appreciate it. I tell all the cells I love you. And I do feel a really good personal connection that's developed with them over the last couple of months. But
good.
I haven't given them this explicit message, so I'm just going to have to tell them I have confidence in them that they know how to handle this and heal and upgrade while I'm
yes.
getting the rest.
Yeah, absolutely. And if that's not working, the other part of it is then to start to question, what is it that I'm getting out of not being able to sleep? What part of my paradigm or my story is being reinforced for me in not being able to sleep? And it might be something really small and subtle, because it doesn't sound to me like you're someone that generally has sleep disturbances.
I've always tended to have kind of an extremely sensitive nervous system, but this
right.
is something that really has happened the last 16 days or so.
Mm-hmm. So just even acknowledging that, it's like, oh, so part of my status quo is to have a sensitive nervous system. So if I'm getting a lot of reaction from this, then I know that something's happening to me. Okay, I already know that something's happening to me, something
okay.
really good. I don't need to have this sleep disturbance in order to reinforce that something really good is changing in my world.
Okay, that makes sense to just acknowledge a lot, especially to myself during the day, that I know it's happening and that I can just rest and I don't need any more outer proof that
right.
anything's happening. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Okay, awesome
so
question. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, I had one that came up on the Q&A that really relates to this too, and I would like to mention this one. If your fave story is, I'm going to screw up or have fear of making a mistake, how do you give that as status quo? That's a great question. So your belief system around it is that whatever it is that you're doing isn't going to be right. And I would like to invite you to take that to the much larger place. If there really is no fear, then there really is no screwing up. There really is no making mistakes. There's only lessons and opportunities to learn those lessons. So when you find yourself in that place of, oh, no, what if I make a mistake? Go, oh, but no. If this doesn't turn out exactly the way that I thought it should, then there was something that I needed to learn from that. That's all. And when we can shift it into that place, of, oh, what is it that I need to learn from this? And interesting that it turned out that way, as opposed to judging and blaming ourselves that it has turned out that way, because that's part of the creating the fear to keep us small. If we can be instead in that place of, interesting learning. and just observe it. So being the observer of our own experience as well, instead of being the judge and jury of our own experience. Because really that's why we would feel that we're screwing up or that we're making mistakes, is because we're being judge and jury of our own experience. And the interesting thing that I find with that, and this has happened so often when I've been doing intuitive coaching with people, that they will talk about something that's happened in their past and ain't it awful. And so then we start to do a bit of a life review, and we take a look at some of the things that have come out of this mistake, and they suddenly realize that it wasn't a mistake at all. It was the greatest gift they could have gotten, because it led them to where they are now, and they would not possibly have gotten there if they had not gone through that mistake. So I hope that will help a little bit with that whole idea that we even are making mistakes, because that's part of a status quo, is to believe that if things don't turn out the way we think they should, then we've made a mistake or we've screwed something up. And that's so not true. If we set out to have a experience and the experience isn't turning out the way we expect it to, then it just means that we had something to learn. We had a we needed a different experience. So I'm hoping that will help. If you have anything further on that, that was Donna that sent that question in. If you have anything further on that, feel free to address it. Okay, so there's a question here that I feel like does apply to a lot of people, and that is why I rarely cry anymore. My immediate on that one would be because you are becoming much better at understanding that there is no good, bad, right, or wrong. It all just is. And so there's not a need for those tears to well up. There's not a need to go into emotional overload in order to process whatever it is that's happened, that your systems are able to process that on its own. Now, there is the occasional time that people have worked really hard to shut down or suppress their emotions, and that is why they're not crying anymore. But most people that are doing this work, that's not the case. As they do the work, they're actually opening up to their emotions more, but they're also more able to be in a state of understanding that all is well, even if the immediate circumstances outside of us in that moment don't suggest that all is well. If we can be that loving observer, we can understand that it really is all just fine. So that would help with that quite a bit. So I'm going to turn back to some of the questions that I wanted to ask. I'm going to spend a little bit more time on that, and then I'm going to go into channel and let the Galactic Council share their thoughts on this whole how we can let go of the status quo and be in a different experience, that if the experience we're in is not serving us. And I had sent some questions out to you beforehand, which they'll be in your email if you're going like, what questions? They will be in the email that that confirmed this event. And the first one was, what is your story of self in the world? Some of you have asked some really great questions around what that is, and then you've gone on to say, and Bonnie, tell me what to do about it. Now, I know I've given some answers to questions that would cover a more general experience. Some of the questions that came in were very specific, so what I would like to suggest to each of you is that you really think about what that question, that's part of your status quo. And what is that question expressing to you? So I actually will use one of them as an example. I won't use your name. But there was a question about an energy healing path, being on an energy healing path, and will I receive a space to work out of and all the tools that I need? And so the story that, or the status quo that would be emerging from that is someone or something has to show up and make this possible for me. The question would be, what is the one thing that you can do or tell differently about that experience that you would, that would allow you to have, to create or fulfill the purpose that you're feeling called to, and then taking action on it. It's real easy for us to look at where it is that we want to get to and go, that's too big, I can't get there. So a big miracle is going to have to occur for me to get there. And what I would like to suggest instead is take one small step, and one small step, and one small step. And that's true of all of us, if we just keep taking those small steps. So what is the one thing that you can do or tell differently? And the other question around that is, how committed are you to creating a different reality? A lot of us aren't very committed to creating a different reality. We're pretty attached to the reality that we have because it makes us feel safe. We think we know it, and so it makes us feel safe. And one of the big ones is the story of poverty. I'm not going to go into that one today because it warrants a whole event on its own. But it is one of the ones that the council has indicated to me is a huge game changer that's happening this year, is that those who are healers and spiritual seekers, it's time we simply have to get over the paradigm of poverty. That there's just no other choice. It has to happen, and that it's going to be happening this year. So that's all that I can give you on that piece right now, but that's just one of those ones that we really like to hold cherished as a status quo in our worlds. So once you're starting to focus on this, what is the one thing that you can do or tell differently, then pay attention to your words and thoughts around that. And start substituting in new words and thoughts. And this is one of those things where it may feel a little bit like you are faking it till you make it. There may be a sense of, oh, I'm just pretending. So the conversation that I had with Rose about she feels like she's not doing anything if she's not taking action. So it's substituting not taking action for I'm taking the action of holding this experience in my heart and loving it so that I can provide the space for healing if that's what those people require. And it's not holding on to outcome, understanding that each person, each being has their own path and their own experiences that they need to have. And we don't get to choose what they are for others. So when we hold others in our hearts, it's not about holding them there so that we can fix them because they're broken. It's about holding them in our hearts so if they require that love and support in the moment, that we are making it available to them. So again, it's that surrendering and that letting go and not holding on to this is how I think it should be, and if it isn't this way, then it's wrong. And another question that can help you with this is, how are you engaging in the fear? Are you passing along fear-based messages? Are you buying into fear-based messages? Are you having that experience that Donna mentioned that I'm going to screw up or make a mistake? And so if I go ahead and do something, then it's not going to turn out. Of course it's going to turn out. It may not turn out the way you expected, but it is going to turn out. One of the things that I used to think was, I mean, it wasn't really humorous because people were asking from a very genuine place. But when I was doing primarily work with the angels, people would ask me if someone was going to be okay. And the angel's answer was always the same. Yes, of course they will be okay. Because they had that deep understanding that we're all eternal beings. And so our spirit would continue to be just fine, whether it continues to be in the vehicle that we refer to as our body and we think is the sum total of all we are, or whether it chose to leave that body and have a different experience. Of course, it was still going to be just fine. Now, were the people that were left behind going to be fine? That's a different story. It may take them some time to adjust to that change. But spirit is always very clear that we are all just fine, no matter what experience it is that we're having. And when we can start to change our focus and our direction with regards to the experience that we're having, we can start to change the experience as well. So those are just some questions that can really help people to shift that status quo. And it feels to me like the council wants to come in now, so I'm going to go ahead and let them come through, and they're going to talk a little bit about purpose. And then if there's time at the end of the call, I will address. There were a couple of questions that were kind of interesting on here that really aren't related, but I would very much like to get them included in this just because I think that they would be really beneficial. Before I go into channel, I want to mention a couple of things to you. One is that, as I said before, there is a button on your website that you can access the Wisdom of the Galactic Council, the Galactic Council Inner Circle, and it's being offered at 15% off right now. So that is a monthly membership group, and I do at least two events per month. All of the events that I do are webcasts like this. They're all then available through the membership as well. So I've had the membership since August, so there's been events added every month since August. Those are all there. As soon as you buy a membership, those all become available. And I also have a whole bunch of extra things in there, like some articles and meditations, those kinds of things. So one indie event each month is a transmission of light. So it's the Galactic Council bringing light into your experience to help you to be whoever or whatever it is that you need to be at that time. So it's really a labor of love. I'm so enjoying the opportunity that I'm having to interact with people on a regular basis. So this is something that can keep you in this energy that we're working with today. It can keep you in that energy on an ongoing basis because you can access that information anytime and connect into the council's loving and healing energy when you do. So that is there if you're interested in it, and I will be sending the link out after class as well, and there will be an expiry on it, but it's not one of those things that you have to sign up before the end of this event or you lose it. I just wanted to let you know that that is there. So with that, I am going to pop over into channel, and I will speak to you once I get there. Greetings, dear ones. We are the Council, and it is with great joy that we join with you at this time. We do indeed love this topic that we are sharing with you today, for it is such an important part of your growth. So many that are on a spiritual quest believe that there needs to be a miracle happen so that they can transform. We would like to suggest to you that you transform so that a miracle can happen. It is not that spirit comes and touches you with a magic wand so that you can then change your life. It is that you choose to change your life so you make it possible for that magic wand to touch you. So from that perspective, it is not about what you do. It is about who you are. And each of you, that changes moment to moment and day to day, but it also stays the same moment to moment and day to day. There are certain aspects that you hold very dear and you just do not wish to let them go. When you ask the question, dear ones, who do you choose to be? And you make your decisions from that place. You have opened an entire new range of possibilities. Do you choose to follow the love, or do you choose to follow the fear? Do you choose to make a difference in the world, or do you choose to let the world dictate to you. We are not talking about fighting or pushing hard. We are talking of taking action. Taking, as our partner said, taking a step and then another step and then another step. That is all that it requires. And in taking those steps, trusting Spirit to guide you along the way. To take that one action towards your desires. All of that rolled into one is about purpose. It is not about the job you do. It is not about the place you live. It is not about the language you speak or how you look. None of that has anything to do with your purpose. Your purpose is about finding the love in your heart and following that love. If you are working at a job that you hate, you are probably not following your purpose. If you are working at something that you love, whether you have this little poverty thing going on or not, then you are indeed following your purpose. And please understand, dear ones, it does not have to be a specific job or a specific role in order for it to be a spiritual purpose. There is as much spiritual purpose in cooking a delicious meal and nourishing others' bodies than there is doing healing work and nourishing their spirit. For all aspects of the being require nourishment in order to be all that they can be. And we have said this many times, but we will say it again, for it bears repeating. Your purpose on this planet is to anchor the love. You cannot anchor the love if you are not in a loving state towards yourself. You cannot anchor the love if you are operating from a place of fear. You cannot anchor the love if you hate your life or your experience. And so it is crucial to find something that is joyful. One of the best ways to find that is to take that moment to be thankful for the little things. To turn on the tap and be thankful that the water runs. To adjust your heat or your lights and to be thankful that they are working. To wake up in the morning and to be thankful that you have another day to explore and experience. Not a to-do list to get done, but a day to experience. Never underestimate the power of being thankful. Of course, you are not going to be able to find gratitude for everything in your life, every moment of your life. But the more you can find that gratitude for the things that you do appreciate, the more you will create the ability to appreciate. And therefore, the more you will have to appreciate. And so it unfolds. That does not mean there will never be items or experiences that you do not understand. Those will still come about as well. But those simply give thanks for, in appreciation for them teaching you what it is that your soul was calling for. And yes, many souls call for lessons that their human experience questions the wisdom or the validity of those experiences, but it is simply that opportunity to have another experience, another lesson, another learning. We encourage you to be thankful for everything that you can muster up the energy to care in a positive way about. is not intended to be overwhelming or to be a massive assignment. It is something we invite you to practice at so that it becomes part of who you are. And as you notice your life shifting, that you are feeling more thankful and more gratitude and less fear and hurtful and resentment and judgment, so too will your life shift to provide more of that. We chuckle over our partner's shoulders sometimes when she is browsing your social media tools. And people are spilling their guts about all of the terrible things that have happened to them, and then they wonder why they get more terrible things. We are not saying that you should not reach out for support to those who can help. But please understand, when you use the media or the vehicle of social media, you have now tossed negative energy all over the place. And that has to manifest somehow. That is the law of attraction. Conversely, when you place positive, supportive, helpful energy out into your medias, you are tossing that energy all over the place. And again, it must manifest somehow. So just think of that, dear ones, the next time you are choosing what it is that you may express. And notice if there is a way that you could, if you need to talk about what it is because you require assistance, is there a way that you can follow it up that you are grateful for the assistance, you are grateful for the lesson, you are grateful for the opportunity to learn, or something like that? You see, we are not telling you to never be upset and to never complain or express concern. We understand that is not how the human psyche works. We are suggesting that there is a much better way to do it by shifting the focus from what is a problem to what is an appreciation. We promise you, if you consciously do that all day, every day, for 10 days, you will see a difference in how you feel. We are not talking about doing it once in the morning and forgetting for 10 days and wondering why nothing changes. We are talking about you consciously changing or releasing what has been your status quo. We know that each of you has the capacity to do that. We have seen humanity do amazing things, and we are honored and privileged to be by your sides as you are doing these amazing things at this time in the world. There is nothing we appreciate more than seeing and assisting you in rising above the clamor of fear and finding the way into the experience of love. It is a beautiful process, and it is one that we are happy to support. We will move now to this opportunity to respond to some of the questions that came forth. There have been a couple of questions about TRAPPIST-1 and the Blue Avians, and we are happy that these bits of information are making their way into the awareness of humanity. We wish for you to know that those are absolutely there and real, and growing in their own ways. We also wish for you to understand they are not simply an aspect of your current 3D dimensional reality. Just as we, the aspect of the Galactic Council that our partner works with is what you have named the Palladians and the Lemurians. And while many would say, are they real? We do not see them, except in our mind's eye. We have not met them, so therefore they must not be real. Please understand that we are just as real as you. We do not have the third dimensional linear experience that you do. Therefore, we do not appear to be solid physical beings such as you are. So too is true of these that you would be asking of from other places. Are they real? Are they true? Yes, they are. Various elements. Please understand that what our partner explained about the news applies here as well. No one aspect of any of this information is completely true, for it is all filtered through those that would bring it forth. And that is true of what our partner says as well. She must filter it through her belief system, and so is it the pure truth? It is the truth as closely as she is capable of conveying. And so too are those other truths. We would encourage you, if you have found your way to something such as that, to continue to follow it, following it from a place of heart center and understanding that if it does not feel true to you when you are in your heart space, not in your fear, if it does not feel true to you, then it is not part of your reality. That does not mean it is not part of others' reality. It means that it is not part of yours. And we will go back again to the examples that our partner gave as she was explaining the truth in what seems to be dichotomies. The truth of the black and the truth of the white. Because the truth of the black is your truth does not make the truth of the white any less true. It simply makes it not yours. And so with that, we do encourage you to be in your hearts as much as you are able. Giving thanks or gratitude is a great way to enter into your heart, for you must feel this feeling of appreciation or gratitude in order to be in gratitude. And that takes you into your heart. Did you know you can actually feel fear and anger without entering into your heart? You can convey them in your head. You can work through them and create them in your head without ever going into and opening your heart. Huh, that's an interesting concept, isn't it? We wish for you to really be with that, be aware of it, and think about that. You can convey emotions that are not in the presence of love without ever entering your heart. You must go into your heart in order to have the experience of love. And the way our partner had you breathe into your hearts, that is a very good way to do so. We will finish the event today with a little breath exercise like that as well, so that we may transmit love into your hearts. We will address a couple more questions before we move on to that. There was a question about astrological signs. No, you are not always born in the same astrological sign. Your astrological sign is structured very precisely for what it is that you have chosen to accomplish on the planet. For each sign gives certain characteristics and therefore predisposition to certain experiences. There is a significant influence of the alignment of the stars and the moon and all of the other planets. And that is why there is an entire field of astrology, because it works. And that is so that you are predisposed to certain experiences. For if your purpose is to travel the world, it would not be good to be born under a sign that always wants to stay home. And if your purpose is to stay home, it would not be good to be born under a sign that wishes to travel the world. Please understand, dear ones, that is a very simplistic explanation of astrology. That is not our area of focus, and we would encourage you to engage with good astrologers to learn more about that field. It is a very worthwhile field to have an understanding of your stars and your experience. And with that, we believe it is time, unless there is something that is really burning on anyone's minds, we will provide an opportunity for that to be expressed at this moment. And if not, we will be proceeding into a heart-centered, very brief, but heart-centered meditation, where we wish to transmit to you the energy of being the loving witness. For that is what we are to you. We are your loving witness. We hold you in our hearts and in our love. And when we are called to be your witness, we hold for you the possibilities and the potentials that you are desiring. We do not try to supplant them with what it is that we wish for. We honor what it is that you call for. And please understand, you call far more for what it is that you wish from your emotion than you do from your thoughts alone. So if you could breathe and relax and breathe into the heart and find the focus or the opportunity of gratitude. If it's even just a small and tiny grain of gratitude, you can use the opportunity to be here with us at this time, to be that gratitude if you wish. If you are having an upside down, sideways, backwards kind of time, and it is difficult to find that gratitude, take a moment and be grateful that you are indeed in the situation that you are able to make the call to be here. That you have indeed found a connection with us, which we too are very grateful for. And that you are being held in the love of spirit at this time. And breathe into your heart and notice that there is a grain of sand. It's like sand in the heart. This is the grain of gratitude. And allow it to begin to grow. Allow it to begin to light up. And with each breath, it grows and fills your heart. It lights up. And with each breath, you allow us to be your loving witness, to hold the space for you to have your best possible experience. For you to give yourself permission to let go of the hardships that have kept you locked up, and to flow into the heart, into the love, into the possibilities and potentials. And as this love and light of gratitude fills the heart, there is no room for anything else. For nothing else is necessary. And allow that love and that gratitude to continue to expand, to consume your entire being. You could liken it to the violet flame. But this light has all colors, all dimensions, all possibilities. It is not just violet. It is whatever color it comes to you as, for that is the color that you require at this time. If you are not aware of a color, it is many colors. Simply honor that. Allow this light to completely consume you. And to begin to shift your focus. And with a deep breath, bring that back into the heart, allowing it to settle there, replacing the old thoughts and being ways of being, filling you with a lightness and a love. And a new way of being. Know that we are by your sides. We are in your thoughts and your dreams when you invite us to be. We are your cheerleaders and your friends. We are your wise mentors and your guides if you invite us. We will never push or force, but we will hold out our hand and offer to take you along. And if you choose to not come, we will honor that. But we would love for you to join with us in this adventure into a new way of being, a new status quo. For when you enter into that new way of being, you can enter into a new way of experiencing. And then this shift can be gentle, quiet, and loving, rather than painful or difficult or frustrating. It can be all that you hoped that it might be and more. And that is the loving message that we wish to bring to you at this time on this day. We know we have not addressed some of you directly, but please understand the responses can be found within what we have said. None of it is as it seems. All of it contains greater possibility and potential than you have been allowing. And with that, we wrap you in our love. We will step back and allow our partner to join with you once again. I am ASHAR of the Galactic Council, and so it is. So it appears that we have reached our time. I would like to thank you all very much for taking part in this with me today and holding the space for each other. So, because really, in effect, that is what each of you did as you entered into that heart space. You held the space for yourself and also for the others in the group. And so that is really lovely that you have been able to support each other in that way. For whenever we have a group of people come together in a loving embrace like this, it does assist each one of you in your own unfolding and your own awakening. So just a little bit of housekeeping to finish up. If there's anything that anybody felt really strongly that they had posted and they didn't get answered and you don't feel that the council has answered that question, it's either because it's not a topic that they are prepared to discuss at this time, it's not time for you to have the answer to it, or it's something that you need to be with a little bit more before they'll provide the answer. But I would invite you to take whatever that question might have been and to bring it back to the questions that we asked of you in this webinar to see if that will bring forth for you what answers it is that you need. So I've just thoroughly enjoyed spending this time with each one of you. It's been fantastic. I really appreciate the questions that were asked, the comments that were made, both on the Q&A and on the live phone line. It was wonderful. And I will be sending a follow-up email. The replay of this will be available at this same link, but I will be sending a follow-up email just to remind you of that. So thank you all so much for joining us, and it's 3:33 here. How perfect is that? What a great time to be finishing up. I'm honored to be able to do this work with the Galactic Council, and I'm honored to be able to share it in whatever capacity I'm able to with others like you. So thank you all very much for joining me, and have a wonderful rest of your day. Enjoy the new moon and enjoy the eclipse and the energies that are happening along with them. If you made a choice to do some ceremony today, this would be a very auspicious day to do so. And you could do so by even just moving back into that energy that we shared with you at the end of the call and allowing yourself to enter into whatever new way of being you choose. It's a great day for manifesting that new way of being. So, got a few messages here as we're closing out. God bless you. Another excellent event. Thank you, Bonnie. Thank you for doing this. Very excited. So thank you all very much. I really appreciate all your wonderful feedback, sending love and appreciation. Thanks for all you do. Never underestimate how much it means to me to receive those types of words back. It really does help to give me the courage to keep on doing what it is that I'm here doing and hopefully continuing to break ground for people who are looking for that. So thank you all so much. God bless. and have a wonderful rest of your day.